As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Trevon Edwards for your Tuesday morning update. Before we start, don't forget, if you aren't already a subscriber, you can get this podcast ad-free along with all the writing that we offer over at The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/NBA show. Go over there and sign up. Tell them Dave sent you. Lots to get to, so we're going to jump right in. And first, Steve Kerr has officially been named the head coach of the USA men's basketball team for the next Summer Olympic cycle, which of course includes the 2023 World Cup in Japan, the Philippines, and Malaysia, and the 2024 Olympics. We kind of knew this was coming, Trey, and it seems like we'll get a little bit more business as usual since it's Steve Kerr taking over for Greg Popovich.
Yeah, I mean, he's been under the wing for a while, and it was kind of like just passing on. And obviously, Pop has, you know, been a part of USA basketball for a while, and he's ended his tenure and just kind of passing it on. And obviously, I think the same situation would open up if San Antonio had some vacancies, he would probably go over there too. So, Kerr's the right person to hand it over to, and then guys like to play for him. So, it's just the right choice.
I mean, his entire coaching staff is just stacked. It's awesome. I mean, Eric Spoelstra's on the bench. Monty Williams is going to be on the bench. You know, USA basketball is winning gold medals every single Olympics for a reason. So congratulations to Steve Kerr on getting the head coaching job. In the NBA, man, the Sixers beat the Celtics 108-103. Trey, in the story of this game, Joel Embiid, 17 of his 41 points came in the fourth quarter. He finished the game with 41 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks, Trey. This was a dominant performance on a night when Philly was shorthanded. Of course, Boston also shorthanded. But Philly really needed that late-game offense from Embiid.
Absolutely. Outside of that three-pointer he took late in the fourth quarter, he was amazing in, you know, down the stretch. You know, he had 3 straight possessions where he shot off the one leg and, you know, it was complete buckets. And then, you know, Danny Green hit a big three. I think it was his only three of the night. He really struggled. But besides that, yeah, those are video game stats for Embiid, you know, and that's what he's capable of doing. Obviously, this has been a very inconsistent year with, you know, health and safety protocols and guys getting COVID and having to sit out. So they haven't been able to develop a flow. But, you know, Embiid looked like the Embiid of last year.
Yeah, Tobias Harris and Seth Curry were both really, really good in this game. Seth Curry had 26, Tobias Harris had 25. You know, Embiid, Curry, and Harris were great. And you mentioned Danny Green. He hit a couple of threes. Matisse Thybulle hit one. And they got 1 point off the bench. So you got 16 points from guys not named Curry, Embiid, and Harris. So there were times in this game, Trey, where I did feel like the offense was just scuffling. And anytime Embiid sat, I mean, you could see the gaps in their lineup. I mean, they were missing Andre Drummond. That's how bad things are for Philly right now. And for Boston, hey, man, things aren't much better. They're down two. I mean, Enes Freedom played 40 minutes in this game. And we know you know, when he was in his canter, you couldn't play canter, and you're forced to play freedom, and it doesn't go well when you're playing against Joel Embiid. Jaylen Brown had 30 points in this game. It's a fantastic game for him, I thought. He was aggressive, finding his own shot and getting to the free throw line. Jason Tatum had 17 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. But, Trey, just not enough from Boston tonight.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Steph Curry got it going early on from the jump. You know, he got them started with 10 first quarter points, and then kind of carried that on. And guys just kind of, you know, got the flow and start going. And you mentioned, like, with their depth, they're going to need more help. You know, they're not going to win. This is a rare situation where you end up winning a ball game with one bench point. I looked at the box score plenty of times before we discussed it, just kind of trying to figure out where can they find points. And, you know, I don't think that guys are going to continue to shoot bad. Like you mentioned, Matisse Thybulle only making 1 3-pointer, which was also in the fourth quarter. That was really needed. And it seems like, you know, Danny Green hit the three. That was really needed during that time too. But, you know, to put together a complete game, they're going to have to play much better against better teams.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In Memphis, the Thunder beat the Grizzlies 102-99. And Trey, look, if you're the Grizzlies and you're on this nice run, everyone is lauding your defense. You know, you just don't expect to lose because your offense couldn't put up points against one of the worst teams in the league, especially on a night where you get Ja Morant back after 12 games. That's right, Ja Morant was back for the Memphis Grizzlies in this game. And I want to start with Ja because he is the straw that stirs the drink for this team. He had 16 points, was 6 of 12, had 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Trey, what do you think about Ja in his first game back tonight, just right off the jump?
I thought he looked healthy. I thought he was solid, but you still shouldn't be dropping this game to OKC. This is a very bad basketball team, but to credit them, you know, Giddey continues to play well. SGA continues to play well. They got their pieces, surrounding pieces that are, you know, coming out and competing. And that's one thing about OKC. They're not going to just pack it in despite them, you know, despite the record. And, you know, it's interesting because you would normally write this in as a W for, you know, the Grizzlies, and it didn't come out that way. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna work it, and in this standpoint, you know, they were able to seal a deal and get this win on this team.
That's right. The Grizzlies were up by as much as 16 points in this game. They only led by 3 at the half, and then, you know, in the second half of this game, I just thought that Memphis did not capitalize on the opportunities that they had. I mean, the Thunder did not shoot the ball well for most of the game, and Memphis wasn't able to step on their throat. And then late in the game, when Memphis was actually trying to come back and win the game, they just threw away their opportunities. It started, Trey, they were down 1, and there was no impetus to get the ball across court. Yeah, Dylan Brooks hopped across the half court after it was 16 seconds left on the shot clock, and they basically didn't even run a play. They wound up with a weird Kyle Anderson jump shot. And then on the next possession for OKC, they have a sideline out of bounds, and it winds up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets a layup out of it, Trey. You cannot lose sight of the other team's best player in that situation, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible call. I don't know what it was, but it was also, like, executed excellently. But then I just want to give a nod to Kenny Hustle and Baisley. They were very important in, you know, that run that kind of got OKC back in the driver's seat and was able to close it out, especially with SGA, you know, playing the passing lane and, you know, getting steals and things of that nature. But these are games that Memphis cannot drop, you know, and they've been playing well without Ja. So for Ja to return and then they drop this game to one of the worst teams in the league, it's not a good feeling.
But you mentioned it. OKC is not a pushover. They play hard from bell to bell. And with teams like that, you cannot let your foot off the gas. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 23 in this game. Josh Giddey, 19, 11 assists. That's back-to-back double-digit assist gains for Josh Giddey. This is a young team with a lot of talent that even when they're going through the COVID health and safety protocols and they're having to like pull up their 11th and 12th guy, they've just got a bunch of guys who go out there and play hard and have talent. And you throw that out there and you have 48 minutes of guys trying hard, you're going to win games like this, especially when Memphis making these boneheaded mistakes down the stretch. So hopefully for Memphis, they get it straight and figure out how to do this thing with Ja Morant back.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
In Utah, the Jazz finally win a game at home, it feels like. Actually, they're now 11-6 at home, 112-102 over the Charlotte Hornets. And Trey, the story in this one, I mean, the fourth quarter was hectic. The Jazz, they had a nice lead for most of the game. The Hornets went on a 9-0 run. They actually shrunk a fourth quarter lead from 17-8 thanks to Terry Rozier. He had a few threes, went on an 11-point run by himself. He actually had 14 in the fourth quarter. He was hot and highlighting again issues with Utah's point of attack defense. But down the stretch, it was just too much Bojan Bogdanović. Utah locked in. They went on a 7-0 run, capped by a Bogdanović three from the corner on a nice pass from Mitchell. Utah goes up six with about 2:20 to go. A little bit of a fake comeback there. Utah comfortable for about the last 2 minutes or so. Trey, I want to start with the Utah defense because this has been a point of contention for this team for years now, and it's something that we talk about with the playoffs, and we were hoping this year was going to be a little bit better. But, man, guards like Rozier just have this tendency to be able to turn it on and go off against them, and I think it's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah, it hasn't been a strength. I mean, Utah led as much as 22. We watched the lead dwindle in the fourth, where even the Hornets got a chance to even take the lead, and that was their first lead since the opening tip. But the game is a game of runs. The Jazz is a very good team. They were able to respond and go on a 7-0 run, and it started off with Mike Conley and, you know, so on, and guys were able to make shots, and they were able to put it together. But a hat tip to, you know, Rudy Gobert, 2020 night, doing his thing. And these are the games, you know what I mean, when you're a top four team in the NBA, the games that you are most likely supposed to win, you're going to have to claw out. Or sometimes keeping those leads, those big leads are hard when you got teams that really play hard. And, you know, again, like you mentioned, they struggled at home and, you know, finally, this is one of those getting the monkey off their back type wins. So hopefully they can capitalize off of it and build something for home.
Yeah, and, you know, Utah did not shoot the ball well at all, only 35% from the field. This has been an ongoing theme for them here recently, and this has been a historic offense this season. I mean, if the season ended today, they would have the greatest offense in NBA history. But they're going through a bit of a downstretch. In this game, Donovan Mitchell only 2 of 10 from 3. Royce O'Neal 1 of 6. I mean, Bogdanović kind of carried them from deep. If it wasn't for him, they don't win this game. Trey, is this just a case of them missing shots, or you feel like Charlotte was a step ahead and actually making these shots a little bit tougher?
I think it's a little bit of both, but, you know, I just think it wasn't their night. I don't really want to give Charlotte too much credit. I think that, you know, they're another team like the Thunder that just play hard. But at the end of the day, you know, Utah's just been struggling. So, you know, I credit to that on the struggle part and that they'll play better eventually. But I know they're glad to get this win at home, and then hopefully they can build on it game by game.
That's going to do it for the show, folks. Don't forget, we got tampering coming up next right here on the Athletic NBA Show. So stay tuned for that. For Trevon Edwards, I'm Dave DeFore. Trey, what do we say?
Ding, ding.